We continue our learning. The Nishmas David ben Menachem and Ham Yaakov and Pinchas Leah. We're in Gittin Perek Dalin Mishnah Ches. Hamotzius Ishto Mishum Ma'ilamis. So the previous Mishnah we spoke about someone who's motzi his wife Mishum Shemra or Mishum Neder, and such a person should not take her back. Here we're dealing with a man divorces his wife because she's an islandist. She's an islandist. We've had islandists in the past. It's a woman who's unable to have children because she physically has not matured. So he divorces her for that reason. She doesn't have a simana isha. So if such a husband was motzi his wife because of an islandist, Rabbi Yehuda Amar lo yachzir. He's not allowed to take her back. Why? We're afraid that maybe she'll remarry. She'll marry someone else. And have children. And the Megayish will say, the one who divorced her, the original husband will say, I didn't know she could have children. Had I known she had children, I never would have divorced her. And I only gave her the get with in mind that she's an islandist. So now that it's clear that that I made a mistake, so now the get is going to be batel. Those children will be mamzerim. So the Chacham made a takana that a motzi, a sister, mishum islandist, lo yachzer, and he can't take her back at all. This way he's Megayish her, Gerish and Gemurin completely, and he knows he's not taking her back. In the previous Mishnah, this is Rabbi Yehuda talking. Lo yachzir in our Mishnah. But the previous Mishnah, where a person who's motzi hisishum mishum neder, Rabbi Yehuda was not afraid of the kilkul haget, of all of this, everything getting messed up the way it is, because when it came to a neder that needs a chakiras chacham, that needs hataras nedarim, Rabbi Yehuda follows Rabbi Elazar, which is a person doesn't want his wife to be humiliated in Beis Din, doesn't want Ishto to be mizbaze in front of Beis Din, and therefore he's not believed to say, had I known that there's a Hataras Nedarim concept of going to Beis Din, I never would have divorced her. We don't believe you if you say that, because like Rabbi Elazar heard in previous Mishnah, we don't believe you because you never would have wanted your wife to be embarrassed and based into Hataras Nedarim. So that's not believable. And an edge that doesn't need a Chakiras Chacham. So Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Meir, that most people know that a husband is able to do Hafaras Nedarim. So therefore, we don't have to worry about Kilkul either. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda holds when it came to Hataras Nedarim, that claim of the husband would never be accepted. To say, I never would have divorced her had I known I could have brought you to Hataras Nedarim. He never would have brought her to court to Hataras Nedarim. And to say, had I known I could do Hafaras Nedarim, I never would have divorced you. No, Rabbi Yehuda also holds like Rabbi Meir of the previous Mishnah regarding that most people know that they can do, most husbands know they can do Hafaras Nedarim. So we combine those two opinions together, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda in the previous Mishnah didn't have an issue. It's only by an islandist where Rabbi Yehuda is afraid of this kilkul haget, and therefore only here he says lo yachzir. V'chachamim omrim yachzir. The chachamim say a man who's motzi his wife because she's an islandist is allowed, divorces her for that purpose, is allowed to take her back. Why should that be? So the chachamim following the opinion of Rabbi Meir, which we have in Maseches Kiddushin, which is kol tanai she'enu kitanai b'nei gad u'v'nei ruv'nei enu tanai. There is a discussion about when a person makes a tanai, does a condition, a stipulation in a marriage and divorce and many other things, buying and selling something, and they say, I'm selling this, I'm marrying, I'm giving you this ring on the condition that, let's say, your father gives us $10,000. So is that a condition built into the marriage, and if the father doesn't give them $10,000, they're not married? So it all depends on whether you need a tanai kuffle, a double tanai, or you don't need a double tanai. If you hold you need a double tanai, then that condition is meaningless. Why? Because all you said was, I'm marrying you on the condition, I'm giving you this ring on condition that your father gives us $10,000. But you didn't say the other half, or the other side, which is the negative, which is, and if he doesn't give us $10,000, then we're not married. So that's a tanai kuffle. Rabbi Meir holds for a tanai to be considered a tanai, it needs to be a tanai kuffle. Because we follow, where do we learn the rules of tanai from? From B'nei God of B'nei Ruvain, when Parshas Matos, when Moshe said to them, Im Yavru B'nei God of B'nei Ruvain, Es Hayardain, then I'll give you Eretz HaGidolah Chuzah. But Moshe didn't stop there. It sounds like that the condition was only effective because Moshe gave the second half, says Rabbi Meir. Vim lo Yavru Chalutzim, if you don't don't come along in war, then you're not going to be Yorish Eretz HaGelud, Eretz HaYarden, Ever HaYarden. You're going to have to come to Eretz Canaan itself. That is Rabbi Meir's rule. All Tanoim, in order to be effective, Tanoim stipulations, they need, in Halacha, they need to be a Tanai Kafel. You have the positive and then the negative. And therefore, we're saying like this. The Chachamim say, you know why a person who's Motzi his wife for because she's an islandist is able to take her back? Because all he said was, oh, I'm divorcing you because on the condition you're an islandist. So what happens? Oh, he finds out she's not an islandist. She's able to have children. Doesn't matter. Because that Tanai is not an effective Tanai. We're not going to say, oh, had I known, whatever, it doesn't mean anything. Your Tanai means nothing. She's divorced. We ignore the Tanai because you didn't give the full Tanai. You didn't say, and if you're not an islandist, I'm not divorcing you. So therefore, you're allowed to take her back. Therefore, you are allowed to take her back because the Tanai is not a Tanai. And we can ignore it. You divorced your wife. Period, end of story, nothing to worry about. And therefore, you can take it back. No one's going to do any talking because everyone's going to ignore the Tanai that you built in because the Tanai is meaningless. In the previous Mishnah, however, you didn't make a Tanai Kofel. And that's why the Gerishin in the previous Mishnah, that's why we have to worry. Rabbi Meir is afraid of Kilkel HaGet, that the woman's going to be ruined. She's going to remarry, have children. The husband's going to say, hey, but I made it tonight. And that was a double tonight. And that's why in the previous Mishnah, we have to be worried. Then the Mishnah says, Niseis La'acher, if this woman who was divorced because she was an islandist marries someone else, V'hayulah Banim Heimenu, and she now has children, and we find out she's not an islandist, so we dealt with the issue about whether the husband can take her back or not. But now we have another question. V'tovas k'suvasa. She now is demanding from her original husband, hey, you owe me a k'suva. Why? Because at the time she was divorced, she didn't deserve to get a k'suva because the Mishnah k'suvos, Perek Yod Aleph, Mishnah Vav, we learn, her islandess, Ela k'suva. She doesn't have a k'suva. Which means, at the time that they have nisuin at the chuppah, he did not realize she was an islandess, so, and she didn't say anything, so then she leaves without a k'suva. But now that you're telling me what? That he divorced her because she was an islandess. So obviously we're talking about someone who didn't realize that she was, he didn't realize when he married her she was an islandess. Because otherwise he wouldn't have married her. He's living her for a while and says, oh, but divorcing her not. So he didn't realize she was an islandess when they got married. And now he divorces her and says, oh, you're an islandess, I can't live with you. And now, so she obviously didn't get any ksuba because he had married her, assuming there was nothing wrong. Found out she's an islandess. He divorces her. She lost her ksuba. But now that it's clear she's really not an islandess at all, she comes back to that original husband and says, hey, I'm not an islandess. I wore my ksuba. So what do we do? Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Only you know we tell this woman, Shikusich Yafa Lich Midiburich. Your silence is better than your talking. What does that mean? Better you're silent. And don't demand the ksuba. You demand the ksuba. You know, the husband's going to say, oh, had I known I have to give you a ksuba, I never would have divorced you. And now she remarried. She has new children. She's going to get into a lot of trouble. Better be silent. Don't demand the ksuba. And you'll be better off. Because you begin to demand the ksuba and say, oh, I deserve a ksuba. I'm really not an islandist. The husband says, oh, you're really not an islandist. I never would have divorced you. And now she'll be in worse trouble. Perek Dala Mishnah Test. Hamochers Atzmo. So we continue the last Mishnah here, Mishnah Tess, the last halacha about Tikkun Olam. You have a Yisrael who sold himself and his sons to a non-Jew to be slaves to a non-Jew. Ain't podino so, we have halacha, you're not allowed to redeem them. Why? Because it's like a knas, it's a fine upon them, a penalty. We don't want people to be selling themselves and the children into slavery, make a few bucks, let's say, and knowing that, the Jews are going to feel bad, and that, oh my gosh, look, they're now slaves to a non-Jew, let's redeem them, let's ransom them. The Gemara says, we're talking about someone who sold himself the third time. First two times, you have a mitzvah to be poed him. But once it's the third time, now you don't have the chazak, you're not poed to him anymore. I will poed him as a banim la'acha mitzvah. But if, let's say, the father passed away, then we can redeem the sons. even after those first several times, because we don't want to mix amongst to assimilate with the non-Jews. This is only after the father passes away. While the father's still alive, we're afraid he may then sell them again, so we're not po to them. Hamocher sadeu l'goy v'chazar l'kachamimenu Yisrael. You have a Jew and sold his field in Eretz Yisrael to a non-Jew, and then another Yisrael bought that that field from the non-Jew. Halokeach mevi bikurim. The buyer, this Jew who just bought this, should bring the bikurim from the land. Even though, the fruit grew and ripened in the reshus while it was still in the reshus of the guy, still the buyer has to bring bikurim. Why? I thought, don't you, when you bring bikurim, you say, this is a reshus priha adama shenasati le'Hashem, this grew in my land, this wasn't your land when it grew. Mipnei tikana olam. This is because of the good welfare of the world. What does this mean? So the Gemara explains that we're really two takanos. What is that? So someone who buys a field actually has to bring bikurim midaraisa. Why should it be? If you buy a field from a non-Jew, you have to bring bikurim from their midaraisa. After all, I thought it belonged to a guy, and that's where it grew. The answer is no. Ein kinyan legoy be'eretz Yisrael afkia karkam ich kudushasa shel tischai v'maestros. We have this concept. Does a guy have acquisition in the land of Israel that if he owns that land, now it's released from the obligation, the agricultural obligation of trumos u'maasos, mitzvos hatuos ba'aretz, or not? So this Mishnah hold, that's debated on Israel. We went through that several times. But this Mishnah holds that a guy does not have a kinyan in Eretz Israel to release the land from its kedusha, and therefore the chiyuv of bikurim and trumos u'maasos, etc., are chayuv in that land as well. So, but the Chachamim saw that people were selling their fields to non-Jews, realizing that, oh, why not sell my field to a non-Jew? I'm not doing something so terrible anyway. The land remains kadosh, and I'm not going to be punished for this. So therefore, the Chachamim originally instituted that a person who buys a field from a guy should not bring bikurim. That was the first takana. Don't bring bikurim. So they realize, oh, guess what? The karka, the land, in fact, does, is yoredes mikedusha sa. It does, is compromised. The kedusha is compromised. Look, you can't bring bikurim. That was a takana derabanan, so people would not sell to a non-Jew. But, the chacham saw, people were selling their fields anyway. And because of that, people were saying, I may as well leave the field in the hands of the non-Jews, because they figured, well, the Kedusha now has been released because I can't bring Bikurim anyway, so I guess I'm not going to be podet. So, because it's not Kadosh, that Kadosh anyway. So therefore, the Chachamim went back and said, okay, I want to return to the original halacha midoraisa, that a person who buys a field from a guy is chayav to bring Bikurim, so that the land wouldn't remain in the hands of the non-Jews. So people realizing that the karka is kadosh, they'll realize that they're going to be podet. They should be podet. And that's why they return to the original halacha of bringing bikurim. So that's what's happening here when it says halokeach may bikurim. The person who bought this land from a non-Jew should bring bikurim in b'nei tikkun ha'olam. So this is a tikkun olam, a double tikkun olam. Originally, yes, midoraisa, you have to bring bikurim. Then midorabanan, and they said, don't bring bikurim. So people would realize that they shouldn't sell their land to a non-Jew because you're lowering it. It's kedusha. That's why you can't bring bikurim. When people were selling their land to the non-Jews anyway, but now because they realize, oh, it's lowered in kedusha anyway, may as well leave it in their hands. And they weren't redeeming it, they weren't buying it back. They went back to the original halacha. No, you bring bikurim. It's still kadosh. Don't sell it to a non-Jew. And if you do, you'll hopefully redeem it. That is the way to understand halokach, maybe bikurim. However, other Rishonim learn the Mishnah differently. It's not halokeach, maybe bikurim, but rather hamocher sadeu legoyim lokeach u maybe bikurim. Meaning, a person who sold his field to a non-Jew, not that it was bought back. No. What it means is, every year he should buy from the guy the bikurim of the peiros that the that grew there of that fence, that field, so he could bring them to Yerushalayim b'nei tikkun olam. For what purpose? So a person does not usually will not get into the habit of selling land in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore, if you sell your land to a non-Jew, we penalize you. You got to go over to that land and find those bikurim and schlep them to Yerushalayim. That tikkun olam. Tikkun olam is you don't normally sell land. And if you realize anyway that I'm obligated to bring bikurim, I don't save myself anything by selling the land to the non-Jew. Now I have to go to the land and schlep the bikurim, so people will be discouraged from selling their land to non-Jews. And therefore, if you did sell it, you will be go through the tircha to try to buy it and redeem it back. And that is the tikkun olam.